Hi, this is the Nocilla cast for May 22nd, 2005. I'm doing this podcast from the Four Seasons Resort Aviara in San Diego, California, and I'm at the digital conference hosted by Walter Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal. The official title is D, All Things Digital, and this is referred to as D3 because it's the third annual event. I wanted to give you a description of the briefing we had tonight by Steve Jobs. He was the keynote speaker, which was interesting because last year the keynote speaker was Bill Gates and Steve Jobs was the second speaker, and this year they switched places. It was also really interesting because we sat there having dinner, and at the head table was, believe it or not, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates breaking bread together. So it was kind of fun. It was also interesting to watch the speech by Steve Jobs and to watch Bill Gates' reaction. That was kind of entertaining. I did try to was hoping to do a little video like I did last year, but Walter Mossberg got up first thing and said we could blog as much as we wanted, but he didn't want any video or audio recording. So I respectfully put my eyesight away that I had dragged down here. The first question, the format of this is kind of interesting. It's not really a speech. It's not like they have PowerPoint presentations. In fact, those are forbidden. Last year, Steve Jobs snuck in a keynote speech on a technicality, but I guess they kept him from doing it this time. But they basically just sit around in chairs, and it's Walter Mossberg and Kara Swisher from the Wall Street Journal and interview people. So when they were talking to Steve Jobs, the first question they asked about was convergence of putting video on the iPod. And Jobs said that there's two forces at work here that are really in opposition to each other. First is that music is something you want to put in your pocket, and video is something you want on a big screen. So if you make the screen big enough to be good for video, then it's bad for music because you can't fit it in your pocket anymore, and vice versa. And he had an interesting point. He said that there's nothing like headphones for your eyes. Headphones are a way of suddenly converting the sound into, it feels like you're in a huge musical theater. You know, you can hear it inside your head like it's huge. But there's nothing like that for the eyes, and until someone invents that, things are gonna be pretty slow to change. He said it's not on the horizon, so evidently they're not the ones doing the invention. They asked him about the Motorola phone, about how that was going to go, and he said it's simply an iTunes player on the phone. And he talked about the business model and how the cell phone or the service providers for cell phones aren't making the money that they hope to make. They make their money on they put cameras in their cell phones in the hopes that people send pictures back and forth, but he says they're not sending them back and forth and they're not making enough money on it. He's not sure if the model's just too hard or what the cause is. I'm not sure I believe that. I've heard that they have a lot of that. He said that they aren't pushing into this market very hard for cell phones because Apple's success is not working with Fortune 500 companies. He said, we're not good at going through orifices, meaning that going through a lot of different companies and fitting into their models, they're not good at that. So he says, if we can't work with Fortune 500 companies, how are we going to go through four service providers? Bill Gates was laughing at little snide comments he made, and that was kind of fun. At one point, Gates started kind of autistically rocking in his chair. It was kind of weird. That was kind of a strange thing to see. Let's see. He said that the RIAA wants to change the rules and hold companies accountable for what the user's intent is to do with the content. And they've been pushing back on the RIAA on that, and so they're not happy with Apple right now. Here's an interesting statistic. He said that record companies make more money when a tune is sold on iTunes than when it's sold on a CD. He said there's no marketing costs and no one can return it. And I guess that makes a big difference in the pricing model. Then he showed us something new, and I promised a little bit of new content. It's nothing earth-shattering here, but if you're listening to this audio, you've hopefully gotten it as a podcast, and I'll do a quick explanation one more time. Podcasting is sort of like TiVo for audio. It's a way of pulling together audio content off the internet and listening to it when you want to listen to it. So you're not listening to this at 11:26 p.m. on Sunday night. You're listening to it whenever it's convenient for you, and that's podcasting. So he talked about the fact that podcasting is kind of a pain to actually receive, because you got to download a podcasting application, you got to find the URLs and stick them in there of what you want to listen to, and you know, downloading this app and configuring it and the whole thing is kind of a pain. So he introduced iTunes 4.9, which I thought was interesting since 4.8 came out a couple days ago, and he clicked on the music store, and on the left-hand side it said podcast. And there came up a whole list of podcasts, had Adam Curry's smiling face in the upper right-hand corner, and you could select a podcast and simply click a button that said subscribe. Now, the reason that's interesting is with your podcast software, you can set it to put it into iTunes, but here you're never leaving iTunes in the first place. You can be inside iTunes and simply say subscribe, and now that podcast is going to come directly to you. He talked about the companies that are doing podcasting, you know, Sirius, Newsweek. One of the guys at our table writes a tech podcast for CBS, and these guys are doing podcasts. One thing that was really funny, he played Adam Curry's The Daily Source Code, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and one of the most popular podcasts, and it was pretty funny. The bit he played was from a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing Adam said was, "Man, I've had to start this show 3 times because my Mac kept crashing." So that was pretty funny. He had to run to get it off. He got Walter Mossberg to record a little bit of his own column, and they played a quick little pretend podcast, and that was kind of cute because Walter did a bad job of reading, and it was very, very stilted. And Kara Swisher from the Wall Street Journal said, "Wow, he's going to have to upgrade his production value there." Let's see, what else was interesting? Walter asked him, after they talked about iTunes and iPods and all this for a long time, then he said, "Well, you know, you make another line of products, don't you?" And obliquely referring to the Macs. And he said, "A lot of people talk about the halo effect." And he asked, "Is that just BS, or is that, you know, is that real?" And Steve said, "Well, we've grown 3 to 4 times the speed of the rest of the market in PC sales. The Macs have grown 3 to 4 times the speed, so he suspects this halo effect is there. Plus, he really thinks the stores are having a big effect. He says they're seeing 1 million visitors a week in the 100 stores inside the United States. There's 105 total, 100 in the U.S., he said. And he said the experience they get is phenomenal." Steve's favorite word, phenomenal. Everything's phenomenal. I'm pretty sure iTunes 4.9 was phenomenal. He said the Genius Bar is one of the big hits there. He said you can go in there with any kind of problem you have, and the New York store has 100 geniuses in the Genius Bar. Walter Mossberg, of course, questioned how he found 100 geniuses in New York, and that got a big laugh. He said Microsoft bought a lot of Macintoshes because they used them in development on the Xbox because they're using the same processor. I guess they're on the PowerPC, and Bill Gates did not react to that in any way. Walter asked him about the fact that the Macintosh has been free of viruses since it was introduced. OS X was introduced in 2001, and he said, "Do you think it's going to end this year? And the first guy to get the Mac virus wins." And Steve said, "You know, people have been trying for a long time, but you can never be cavalier about this." He said that virus could come tomorrow. He talked about the robustness of the operating system and the best-in-class processes they have in determining how users interact with the operating system. He talked about early on in the when OS X was first showed to him and his team by a guy named Avi. He said that the guy showed him how it would work, and he showed that you would have to type in a password every time you downloaded an application from the internet. And he said he really complained to the guy, and the whole team was against it and thought it was a really bad way to go. But you know what? He said Avi was ahead of his time, and that has been one of the main reasons the Macintosh has not been successfully targeted yet, anyway, is that you do have to include a password whenever you connect into to load an application. He demoed Tiger, which was nothing new to any of the Mac fans listening today, but he talked about why Spotlight is better than Google Search. He said it finds more application types. It knows when this was a key feature. It knows when to index. It's basically indexing all the time. If you move, you create a file and you put the word baseball in it, it's automatically indexed with the word baseball. So you can it's doing it real time. But he says the other tools, you have to either tell them when to index or they do it on a schedule. It's not real time. He also talked about how the applications can build Spotlight into them, and A lot of companies are building Spotlight into their applications, specifically Microsoft. And Walter was quick to point out that Entourage was not compatible with Spotlight yet, but Steve said that Entourage would be out soon. Then they started talking about Pixar, and I got kind of bored during that part. But he did tell us that that they use Dells running Linux for some of the work they do, and he said it pains him to write the check for the Dells, but they do it. He said that they've been working a lot with the movie companies, trying to explain to them that you can never keep your content off the internet. He said, you know, we tried to explain this to the music companies and they just don't believe us. But as soon as one person hacks one thing, immediately that thing is on the internet. So you just got to assume it's going to be out there, and you have to come up with a business model that's more enticing, a better experience for the customer. And he says, like iTunes did for music. Walter says, you know, you're really big on doing big announcements. How come you didn't announce that video plays inside iTunes? What's the deal there? And Steve said that, again, trying to make a more enticing experience, one of the things that ways to make more money is if you can sell an album. So some albums now come with extra content. For example, they can come with little music videos. They can come with PDF booklets that come with them, and sometimes an extra track. And so they've included that into iTunes now as a way to get people to buy the full album. Walter asked him whether he'll be selling video by next year's D conference, and Steve said, anything's possible, but it's job security for me not to tell you. That got a big laugh. Then he talked about how Walter asked about how Steve is suing journalists for revealing their future product plans, and wondered about the First Amendment for journalists and why that doesn't protect them. Steve said the law is very clear on this. He says they do have First Amendment rights, except if they break the law. He says it says that in plain English. He says the people they're going after took Apple confidential drawings with their copyright on them and put them on the internet. So there are times when the courts have decided on a one-off basis that publishing things, even though the law was broken, can be allowed if it was for the public good they would allow it. But clearly he doesn't believe this is one of those rare examples. There was a great question from the floor. Someone asked, said they were lusting after the sub notebooks, and in referring to that, meaning the little tiny notebooks that don't have an optical drive and weigh a lot less. And he says, I'm a Mac user, but I'm lusting after the Sonys and Toshibas. You know, why isn't there a sub notebook? And Steve said that the sub notebooks are about 15% of the notebook market, and that they've had their hands full with the other 85%. But he says, you know, we're doing pretty well now. Maybe it's a time we do take a look at that. So that was almost like looking into the future there. One person asked a great question, said, many Mac users are passionate about the Macintosh, but they're also passionate about you. After this tough year you've had, how are you? And it was kind of a warm moment, and odd to see Steve reacting to a warm moment. He stood up and said, I can stand up vertically now. And he talked about having had a rare form of pancreatic cancer and how lucky he is that he was able to have get a disease that was correctable with surgery. And he says he got many great wishes while he was out ill, and he said he'll never forget it, and he thanked her for asking. On that rather somber note, tomorrow Bill Gates is going to be speaking in the morning, and Scott McNeely from Sun after that, followed by Ed Zander from Motorola. And I'm really looking forward to all three of those. I hope to get a chance to ask Scott, if not one-on-one at the microphone, what they're going to do about allowing people to buy Sun AMD boxes and not have to pay $300 for Microsoft Windows, since Scott doesn't sell them as an OEM. We have to pay the full price, and I plan on torturing about that. There's also a guy named Nicholas Negroponte I'm looking forward to listening to. He's working on plans to create a $100 notebook for third world countries or in poor regions. So I've got a lot to look forward to tomorrow, and hopefully I'll get the energy up to do another podcast tomorrow to keep you up to date on this exciting conference that I'm going to. And good night.